can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Don, just turn that off. Don, oh shit, I turned that off too. Now, Don, I'm a bit nervous because we sit here and we babble on and we've interviewed people, but very rarely do we interview people who we're punching above our weight, because this man has been a star, has been, probably still is, but has been, like us, we're has-beens, a star in the media, on radio and television, and hosting events, and being corporate front man. A man he is. I think he's a man. He's identifying as a man, so we can say that safely. I've known him for a long time, not intimately, but I've known him in a working capacity and also as a friend. No, not a close friend, but a friend. And we're very delighted that he's in. And
I'll just... Well, I'm a little bit intimidated because I was in awe of him.
Right. Well, his name's John Blackman, and
is that who you were talking about? I thought you were talking about somebody else. It's me.
Well, we like to. I'll just say what the machine says here, Don. We get all our information, John, from the
Wikipedia.
John Blackman is an Australian radio and television presenter, voice artist, and comedy writer and author. Now, if I press Wikipedia, it goes into reams of what he's done. So I won't bore him or the people listening, but we'll ask him some questions about
his... Can I be a little self-indulgent?
No, just a minute, Don. I'll ask him some questions about his great career.
Yeah.
But the first thing I want to ask him before you speak... You might notice, and everyone would know, that he looks a little different now than what he used to when he was on Hey Hey. And while Bruce Mansfield and he on 3AW doing breakfast, it wasn't a visual medium. You couldn't see what he looked like. He is different now because of a very pervasive and serious operation he's had on his face. First of all, John, you've had a similar thing done to you, what John Farnham had done to him. How are you, and
good,
how are you coping with it?
Well, isn't it funny? I was about to mention that. Yes, the very same operation that Farnsey had.
Farnsey.
Yeah, oh, Farnsey. Well, you know, yep. I know him quite well.
Yeah.
Daryl calls Stubbsy Stubby.
Stubby. Yeah. Yep. So,
yes, he did. But I don't think his was as radical as mine. Because all of my lower jaw removed along with the teeth, and some people thought, geez, I hope they take out his tongue, but that survived, and my voice box.
It's an extraordinary piece of surgery that they've done to you.
Absolutely, 12 hours under the knife, and the same surgeon didn't do John as did me, but it's about a 12-hour operation.
And why did you have it done in the first place?
Because I had a little pimple on my chin, and I thought it was just a pimple. And you know what, you know, folks are like, you know, scratch at it, you know, push it, and, you know, I hope nobody's eating while they're listening to this. And it turned out it was a VCC. Now, Sam, you're a very intelligent person, and I assume Don is, but you would know that VCC stands for... The medical term.
A big, big, big...
VCC. Big... No, it's... Sent, I'll put you out of your misery. A basal cell carcinoma.
Oh, I see.
An SCC, which is squamous cell carcinoma. Oh, actually, no. It's a squamous cell carcinoma, an SCC, which is the most deadly thing you can get on your chin apart from a pimple, especially if you've got a television appearance coming up.
You scratched it and it suddenly developed into what?
Not suddenly. Over time it sort of rotted my chin and it looked hideous.
But what? Because you thought it was a pimple, you scratched it and it was an infection, was it?
It was a sort of infection, yeah. It was actually a carcinoma.
So if you were arrested, if you were a little more, if you were more prompt... Should have gone to the doctor earlier. Would you have been?
Yes, Don. I think I might have, but you know, they said it was really aggressive.
Oh,
And it was about to, you know, eat away the rest of my face or whatever and eventually get to my brain and I'd be brown bread.
So speaking of your brain...
Yes.
That there's another scare that I read that bone cancer scare in your cranium, do you?
Yeah.
Is that another thing that's arrived recently?
This is the thing, and thank you for the cap too. You cannot be serious.
You cannot be serious.
Because I got in the car to come here today to your plush studios.
Yes. Warehouse.
Warehouse. It's very nice, Sam. Yeah. And Don, you must be doing quite well in whatever venture you're on at the moment.
Yeah, we're doing not well at all.
Where was I?
Cap.
Oh, driving down the road, down the Monash Freeway, which is a road in Melbourne for anybody listening interstate and overseas.
Yeah, overseas, yeah.
I thought, shit. Oh, are you allowed to swear?
No. You can swear.
No.
You'll edit that out.
No, we don't edit anything out. We don't edit anything out.
Oh, okay. Shit. I've got a few other words I'd like to use that I couldn't do on
AA. I mentioned Don's a fuckwit several times, many, many times during the podcast do I mention it.
Stop it.
Go ahead.
Sam, stop it, because Daryl could be listening.
Well, now we're going to do all that in a minute. I want you to finish with your health, please.
Can I finish the story?
Yeah, that's what I want you to do.
I'm driving down the freeway and I thought, shit, I've forgotten my hat. And I was too far down the highway to get it because you reminded me of it because another aggressive SCC started growing in one that they, it's a difficult story, but in a crater that was created when they removed one minor one. And it was heading towards, get this, heading towards my brain because I don't know how well you know your anatomy, Sam, but there's the skin and then there's the scalp.
It's like the planet, there's the stratosphere, then there's the band that oxygen, and then there's outer space.
Yeah, all of that, and then there's your brain.
Yeah.
So what this was doing was very aggressive, and it was starting to go through what's left of my, I don't know what they call it, meniscus or something like that. Anyway, it was heading towards there, and that was a 5-hour operation. My first one was a 12-hour operation, just like Farnsey. And so I've got a titanium mesh plate in here. And the plastic surgeon, you've seen me without your hat. The plastic surgeon he did a great job. His name's Frank Raiola Bashini.
Raiola Bashini.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take that on advisement.
I think I would too, Sam, because I don't know whether I pronounced his name right. I just call him Frank.
Frank.
Yeah, but he's Italian with a hyphenated name, he must be important. Where was I again? See, I tend to drift off. Oh, yes. But what he did was that was a 5-hour operation at the Alfred Hospital. And what happened is he made me look like a smurf because all of this skin here...
Yep, I can see it.
You can see it. It's starting to settle down. And Frank, you'll be happy to know if you're listening, there's a bit of hair growing on your graft because he took this off my back.
Now, the hat that you're wearing this comes from michaelchristianmenswear.com and he markets those and we sell plenty of those to people who listen to this podcast and we don't sell them but Mick Christian does and when we do this and we always do a video at the end to show we put on our website just to show who's there, Mick will be delighted that you've got You Cannot Be Serious cap and we want you to have that because you look very, very good in it.
Tell me this, Sam and Don, do you have to pay royalties to John McEnroe?
That's a very interesting thing you say. We just use his voice and we use someone else's voice to introduce this. No one's ever... I'm glad you brought that up because that'll be the next thing. Next week we'll probably be lumbered for
we'll be lumbered with a bill.
I've often said... Sorry, Sam, to talk over you because I know that's very unprofessional.
No.
You know what somebody told me once and I can't remember who it was? Oh, Philip Brady... who is nearly 10,000 years old, he once told me the secret is when working together, you watch each other's lips.
Yes.
You know when somebody's about to talk.
Mm.
I think that's what he said to me.
Yeah.
Now, where was I
again? I tell you, well, Murray, if you watch Don's lips, Don has no regard for whoever's speaking. If he thinks of something to say, he just says it.
He just says it.
And it just can descend into chaos. Yeah. And we pull him up several times, but he takes no notice. You'll find that out later. John.
Amateurs imitate professionals steal.
Now, John.
Now, I said that.
Now, it's taken 10 minutes for us to get your health out of the way, which was vital, but we don't want to. We want to concentrate on your extensive and magnanimous, I think, magnanimous career.
Can I start? Because I'm fascinated with where people start. Now,
I was born at a very early age.
I understand all that.
You just out of wedlock.
You went to Sindel Tech.
Sindel Tech, yes.
Did you have a woodwork teacher called Kevin Smith?
No, I had a maths teacher called Kevin Harris.
Okay.
Of all the questions, Don, of all the questions you could have asked, Don, John Blackman, that is about the worst fucking... Seriously, did he have a woodwork teacher called Kevin Smith? Shit, mate.
No.
This is a star of stage and screen, and you're asking about woodwork.
Sam, Don's going somewhere with this. And by the way, my woodwork teacher was Mr. Winkler. Now there's a name.
No, anyway, Kevin Smith went out there as a woodworker. Then we may have crossed paths, and I don't know whether you were there before me, but you worked in the basement of Myers.
Yes. Oh.
And I was up on the second and third floors.
You sell perfume.
What, now, you did? No,
he was on the microphone.
No, I sold perfume. That was the men's range of 7-Eleven.
Oh, well.
And it smelt. It was crap. And I actually became... I had the second highest sales figures for Sir International, which was the aftershave, in Australia.
Well, that's perfume.
Yeah, well, yeah. But the thing is, I got a job as a sales...
You sold cigarettes?
Sold cigarettes, yes, out of the back of a van for James Richardson. Yep. And do you know something? To this day, I'm very good friends with the owner, who's now deceased, David Mandy, who used to be...
David Mandy.
David Mandy.
I was with his son on Sunday, Stephen.
Stephen.
And Mandy.
And Mandy,
yep,
Mandy.
Yep, I was with them on Sunday.
Is that right?
At a function.
At a function, yeah. Yep. Was Spike there?
Who?
Spike, Ian Mandy. He had two sons.
Oh, well, no, I think only Stephen was, and Mandy. She was there.
See, this is the thing, Don. Sam and I move in very different circles to you, I reckon.
Very different.
Very different.
So, Don, did you get the woodwork thing out of the way?
Or? Yeah, and I've got the Meyer thing out of the road. So and that's what fascinated me, did you always have this voice, or did you train the voice?
No.
Did you go to radio school? Did you start?
I went to radio school, but I left school at 16. In fact, I left home and school at 16.
Did you get kicked out of home?
I just got a little bit sick of my dad. I got to know my dad like the back of his hand. Seriously, we would be sitting there at the dining room table most nights when Dad wasn't asleep, drunk in his chair, his favourite chair, and I would all of a sudden I'd hear this whistling sound, and it was him throwing his car keys at me from one end of the table to the other because I'd done something to obviously annoy him. So I learned how to duck after the first two or three bullseyes. So I just got sick of him whacking me and whacking Mum, by the way.
Yeah.
I was kicked out of home as well, Johnny, so we've got a few things in common.
Yeah, just recently, I believe.
I've been kicked out of plenty of homes.
I was in a funny... Yeah, I know, because I was driving Cecile, that's my wife.
Yes, I know it is.
Cecile.
Alan Scheel, who used to do Lace, Bugs and Moths. He used to advertise...
Don't forget the Cecil. I'm only doing that because since I've had the operation, this is a plate I've got, this is a denture I've got in my bottom.
I think it's extraordinary. They've reconstructed that face.
Reconstructed,
seriously.
Yeah, and I can now whistle when I talk. Where was I? Oh, yes, that's right.
Alan
Shashil. Yeah, so I just got a bit sick of him whacking me, and I whacked him back one night, and... I was only 16, And I said, that's it. And I left my dear old mum alone with him. But I, you know what I think it was, guys? I think I became the other alpha male in the group because I had two sisters and I was, you know, like the middle child. And I guess I think he resented me a little
bit. So Cecile was, I think, your second wife?
Yes,
I think that's what it says on there.
Yes.
And the first, you had a crack at it. I've had a few cracks at it.
I've had a few cracks at it. I could do the old joke. What, are you addicted to wedding cakes, Sam?
That's right.
His wedding ring is inscribed to whom it may concern.
That's right. And people often say, how many wives have you had? And I always say, of my own. So the first one just didn't work out.
I tell you, I've got an idea that she may be deceased. So I do apologise to any of her relatives who might be listening to this, although I doubt it. But I got married for the wrong reason. This was back in the days when National Service.
Yeah.
And you'd remember this, Don and Sam, because we're all about the same age.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there. I had a job at a customs agent and I was only 19. That's a good name for a song, isn't it? Somebody ought to do that.
Yeah.
I was only 19.
Yeah, I'd give it to a group.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon Red Gum could cover that, do you think?
Oh, I don't like Red Gum. Have you got any teak or... No, sorry, that's a bad gag. All right.
Yeah, they were the master of the one-liner, though, John. It says as your part of your blurb, the master of the one-liner.
Only steal from the best, Sam. Only steal from...
And there's another one.
By the way, there's one bloke on radio who shall remain nameless.
We'll name him if we can think of it. Go on.
All right, I'll give you...
Give us the initials.
DJ. He was my panel operator. What are you looking at that?
DJ, for? I'm trying to think of.
Oh, okay. He was my panel operator back in the Halicon days.
Yeah, Halcyon, yeah.
I heard John Law say that once. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, it's Halicon days. He was my panel operator and he has memorised all of my jokes.
DJ. Darren James. Yeah. Oh, sorry, pardon me. Yep.
Yeah.
Dazza.
Yep. Yeah. Dazza. I call him the thief of bad gags.
So do you get on with, say Darren, do you get on with people in your, you don't?
There are some.
Some you don't get on with?
There are some.
Most you do.
There are some who have been a little bit disloyal and there are some who have been a
put the knife into you?
It's expedient. But anyway, that's another story.
No, it's a good story because I'm the master of all that, mate. I've had more people stick the knife into me disown me, so that's all right.
I can't remember where this conversation started.
One master of the one-liner?
Oh, master of the one-liner, yes. Where were we?
I tell you where we were. We're going to get on to the two things to me that have made you the person you are, and that's your contribution to Hey Hey It's Saturday.
Yes.
And the Dickie, I want to ask you where Dickie Knee came from and did you invent that or who decided that that was a good thing to do? And, of course, your great career with Bruce Mansfield on the 3AW Breakfast, which was the highest rate. You can tell me about the ratings on both those shows.
Yeah, well, until I left in under, not a cloud, that's the wrong word, but I left under controversial circumstances.
Is this 3AW?
Yes,
3AW. You went to AK?
I went to the CBC network, Sam.
Yes, CBC.
CBC, which Brian White conspired with Kerry Packer to sink the good ship 3AW the breakfast session was the strongest show on the station at the
like
time.
Like the news that's the lead into television stations?
Kind of thing, yeah. No, this was the radio.
No, I know that, but news is the lead into any show at night on television is the news.
Oh, yeah, and breakfast is the lead into,
of course.
Yeah, so, but Brian, somehow Kerry Packer must have convinced Brian to head up the CBC network.
Yep.
Which was a conglomeration of, this had never been done before, a networking situation on radio with Sydney and Melbourne. And so Kerry Packer, this is my take on it now, because I'm a lot older and wiser.
Yours is the take we want.
Yeah, well I have a feeling I got conned into going to CBC by Brian, who was trying to suck up to Kerry, And how do you sort of sabotage, if you like, the strongest show in town, which was the breakfast session? And my theory on this these days, now that I'm 75, is I thought, I've been conned. Because I failed property, I failed real estate, I failed finance, Cecile failed jewellery, and I majored in naivety.
Well done.
Yeah.
So John, so they poached you, or they drew you away from 3AW to 3AK.
Yeah, Brian came up to me one day, yes. And he said...
station manager, Brian White.
Station White.
I know, I knew of Brian.
Knew of him, he's dead now.
I knew of him.
So is Kerry.
Yep.
So I can speak ill of them.
you can't speak ill of the dead, so you're open slather.
Exactly right. But I reckon that Kerry's... This is how the conversation went, I think. I wasn't there. But Kerry said to Brian, hey, how can we get rid of, make 3AW weaker? And Brian said, he used to talk out of the side of his mouth. He said, I've got a good idea. Why don't we blow up the ship? Why don't we send a torpedo into the guts of 3AW, which was...
The breakfast.
The breakfast show. Oh, and Darren was there too, but more about him later.
I know. I've got a question about Darren. You took exception to something he said and you sued him, I think.
I don't think I sued him.
Well, you threatened to.
I threatened to, yeah.
Now, tell me, they tried to get you, they got you to 3AK. Is that what the CBC deal was?
Yeah, but the thing is, if you were a captain of say you're the German Navy, right?
Yeah, you're bold.
Yeah. I didn't know you spoke German.
Yeah, boy.
Zigarettenfräulein?
Ich liebe dich, mein Liebling.
You what?
I love you, my darling. Yeah, that's the only German I know.
I thought you said something else that involved... Anyway, so we were... Oh, yes, that's right. You're going to hear lots of... where was I in this podcast, ladies and gentlemen? So, where was I?
We have non-binary people that listen, so just say everyone.
Oh, everyone, all right. And hello to you, everyone. It's nice to know you're listening as well. Where was I?
Well, you're off to 3AK.
Yeah, I was off to 3AK. And he said, you know what we do? We aim a torpedo at the guts of 3AW
on
the
breakfast.
And he didn't care. It was very Machiavellian of Brian, I thought. Kerry just wanted this CBC thing to be a success. But how do you weaken your enemy? And Brian didn't care who the collateral damage.
That's right.
So so he aimed a torpedo at the breakfast session, right? Because he knew that I worshipped, Brian knew that I worshipped the ground he'd walked on.
Yes.
I walk on. Yeah. But
and he packed you off to AK.
Yeah, and I said, but Brian, I've just signed a contract with 3AW. He said, don't worry about that. I said, what about the legals? We'll take care of that. And I didn't get any extra money, by the way, just in passing.
Didn't you?
No.
Because that was, everyone said you left for that reason.
No.
Because you got a big offer from AK.
No, I didn't have a big offer. I'm quite aspirational, and I was quite back then.
Yeah.
So he said, look, it'll be fine. So he gathered that I would leave 3AW because of Hey Hey It's Saturday. And Kerry Packer couldn't have, and I thought naively, I thought Kerry Packer can't have, one of the huge, not the huge, I don't think of myself as huge, but one of the major components of Hey Hey It's Saturday working for the opposition on radio. So he sort of, I don't know, I just think I got...
Little did you know how wrong you were.
John... Getting to Hey, you just mentioned Hey Hey. I was a great fan. I used to watch it Saturday mornings before the football.
Inspire you?
No, just to turn off. And I can't remember, when did you actually join Hey Hey? Because I don't remember you in the early days.
Well, the early days were, I just got back from my country stint and we all went up the bush. Back in the olden days, we don't sort of.
What do you mean for radio?
Yeah, for radio.
Yeah, no, I got all that on the Wikipedia. It said all the places you've been. Yeah. I wasn't going to read all them out.
Well, these days, you have to be the winner of Idol or
Married first sight.
Married at first voice. Sight. Who flew over the cook? One flew over the cuckoo's nest. You know, to get a job on radio. But back then, we had to do our apprenticeship up the bush. So I started on 3AW. Well, I started on 2GN and all that sort of stuff. But I got my first job on AW 1971. And to make a bit of extra dough, I went to Channel 9. And I said, have you got any, you know, spare workers, booth announcers? Because we had booth announcers live back then.
You and Pete Smith?
Pete Smith and Philip Brady and you name them. They all started
in the booth. So that's how you started at 9?
And then they said, oh, we've got a Saturday morning shift. It goes 6 till midday. Would you like to do that? And I said, yeah, I'd love to do that. So that was when Daryl and I struck up our relationship. And booth announcers were seen... Or heard and not seen back in those days.
So it's history. It's how what happened to Hey Hey It's Saturday under the guidance, if you like, of Daryl. Now, tell us about your relationship with Daryl and how hard or easy it was to work with him. We hear varying stories about.
I hear the stories too, Sam, and you would know because you've worked in the business for a while now.
I would,
and he's got to be tough. Because, you know, if he's not tough, I mean, nothing gets done or nothing gets done the way he would like it and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, well, he is a bit of a perfectionist,
Perfectionist at being loose?
Quite
an art of doing
that. Kind of thing, but I always called him the comedy cop because he'd say, well, just a second, Wilbur, hang on. Come through, Red. Come through. Okay, John, your turn.
Yep.
And like, he wouldn't actually say it, but you would know. But he directed the comedy stuff very, very well.
It was a tacit thing, unspoken.
Yes.
So is that how the egos were kept in check?
I think so. Ego? None of us had egos.
It's a dirty word.
I guess so, Don, because otherwise it would be be like this podcast. Nobody's in charge. But, you know, he had to be seen to be in charge, and I respected that. And it was a huge success for 28 years.
And then, of course, it was Saturday morning and then it went to
Saturday nights, about halfway through. Yes. Yeah, about 1984, 85, something like that.
And then I'm not saying this disrespectfully, but then the woman came on. Jackie.
Jackie McDonald.
Oh, sorry, I couldn't think. I thought of a name.
We're still good mates.
She came on and co-hosted? Was that...
She co-hosted. Sidekick sort of thing. You know, the comic relief. Although there was lots of comic relief.
Yeah. So your comic relief thing, of course, was Dickie Knee. Who invented that, or did
well,
you?
There were many. McGillicuddy was early on, wasn't she?
Yeah.
McGillicuddy.
Mrs. McGillicuddy used to talk like that.
Yeah, she was a rough bird. Yeah, they used to show a photo of this bird without any teeth.
And just a minute, please.
Yeah, we stole is that. We stole that from a German magazine. I hope they don't sue us.
Dickie Knee was stolen from a German magazine.
No, Mrs. McGillicuddy. I don't know where we got it from, but
who invented the thing on a stick that was Dickie Knee?
While we're talking about Mrs. McGillicuddy, Daryl used to say, oh, Mrs. Mac, how's your husband Bert? See, Don's laughing because he knows what's coming. He said, he's dead. And Daryl would, you know, feign shock.
Yeah.
I said, how did that happen? He said, I got pulled off by the bullocks. Yeah. Do you remember that, Don?
I remember the Longer's opening. I used to sit there Saturday morning and I'd be in bed.
Excuse me, I suffered from...
They had the longest opening ever. It was 25 minutes to a show.
Yeah, well, that's because Ozzie and I were waiting for Daryl because he'd slept in, because that's when we used to do it live. But Dickie came about I had, in answer to your question, Dickie, and what? How did he come about? That's right. We didn't have a name for him. He was always called the school kid, and there was a little voice I could do, which you saw at Molly's, of course.
Yeah, Molly's birthday. I was going to get on to Molly, and Red Simons was there.
Red came later, so did
Wilbur.
Wilbur, they came sort of halfway
through. He was there at Molly's thing.
At Molly's. By the way, did you take Molly a present?
I wore one of his hats that he gave me when he came on the footy show, and I said,
"It's real Akubra, wasn't it?"
I said to him, "Mate, I said imitation's the best form of flattery, so I can't don't know what to give you, so I've come imitating you."
And who walked in wearing a plastic version?
You.
Thank you. Yes. As they say, imitation's the best form of flattery. Yeah. Where was I again? Hang on.
McGillicuddy.
Dickie Knee.
Was a voice to start with.
Yes.
And who put his head on a stick?
Well, Crystal.
And bobbed it up in front of the lens.
Crystal, our flamboyant.
Yes, oh, I know Crystal.
Floor manager.
Mm. Our flamboyant manager, who incidentally was responsible for the Kamal debacle.
Yes. You famously said when he was sprayed with flair, he said, "Now you know what it's like to be white."
No, the exact words were, "Sam, you're a white man now, Kamal.
How's it feel?"
Yeah, something like that.
And how would that be disrespectful?
Well, I know.
Now, mate, even today, that is so passively non-confrontational. That if someone who is a darker skin gets some powder sprayed over him, honestly, that's the way it's headed. It is ridiculous that it...
Can I ask you two questions, just getting away?
No,
hang on, both of you. Why could Channel 9 do variety and Channel 7 couldn't?
Yeah, that's a question I've often pondered, Don, because I don't know. We just did a bet. I think we were known as the station of the stars.
You are spot on.
Well, yeah. You worked at 7, John.
I will tell you this, Don. This is a fact, my fact.
Excuse me, I suffer from oral incontinence, which is driveling to you.
Channel 9 wanted to have the people on air to be their stars.
Yes.
Channel 7 wanted the people who got sacked or drifted down from the Herald Sun to the 7 network.
Yes.
They wanted to be the stars, and the people who worked for them were just the workers. They had a completely different paradigm, a completely different pattern of who the star structure would be. 9 wanted the people on camera to be stars, and the people behind the desk and the people who ran the thing at 7, they wanted to be the stars.
Yes. Well, that's
because there was a lot of... You started with IMT.
Yep.
You mentioned Hey Hey, It's Saturday.
Yeah.
And then Don Lane and Bert and all those people.
All of those. I think they had the Penthouse Ernie. Club at Channel 7. That was about the only variety show.
I worked on the Penthouse Club back when I was sort of doing freelance for any channel. And Mary Hardy
and Mike Williamson.
Mike Williamson, yeah.
They had the trots.
Ernie Sigley. Something shocking some nights, the trots.
Exactly. John, I'm finally going to get you to answer this.
Dickie Knee.
Fuck. Listen, Dickie Knee,
you
used to put the voice on, didn't you?
Yes,
and then who decided to put his head on a stick and bob it up in front of him?
I just told you.
Did you?
Yeah, Crystal.
He said, here's a stick with a head and just bob it up.
No. What happened was Daryl was walking behind the desk one day and he's banged his knee on the desk. Thank you. He's banged his knee on the desk and he's gone, oh, and Ozzy said, "Oh, what's wrong, Daryl?" He said, oh, I've got a dicky knee.
And I thought...
Dickie Knee. Now that sounds like a comedy name, doesn't it? So I stuck my head up. He was known as a school kid then.
Yes.
So the school kid stuck his head up and said,
"And that was it.
You rang?"
And
Daryl said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Dickie Knee." And everybody loved it. They laughed.
So how did you and Crystal communicate?
Well, no. You just knew. He just knew it was a sort of comedic. It was a comedy thing. You wouldn't understand, Don.
That's true.
You're talking from experience.
Absolutely, the most
no,
boring.
I only said that, but no, and so Mark McGann, who's played Flucker, he was the Dickie handler. So in the warm up, I'd say, see that.
Oh, so Crystal wasn't Dickie, was Flucker?
No.
I thought.
Occasionally he'd fill in for Mark.
Oh yeah.
Flucker lives up in Queensland now with Cheryl, who's a masseur. Masseuse.
I think you got the wrong person there. He's very happily married.
Oh, all right. I have got the wrong person there.
To
Aussie. then have I got the wrong person?
No, Ozzy shacked up with, not shacked up,
yeah.
He's dead now, of course, with Miffy Marsh.
Oh,
Miffy Marsh, she was back in IMT.
IMT, yeah.
So did you get on with Ernie?
Geez, you guys go back. How old are you, Don?
Same age as you, my friend.
No, I'm older than you. I've watched all those stuff. I know it all.
So Ozzy said, yeah. So that's how Dickie Knee was born, and then he became very much part of the show, and would interrupt at any old time, which I suspect Daryl hated, because if Wilbur and Red wanted to interrupt Daryl, they'd have to call for a camera. Say, hey Daryl, and depending what mood Daryl was in, he would decide when the camera would move over to them. But Dickie had no choice with Dickie, because he kept sticking his head up.
And were you fated by Nine then, because it was an extraordinary successful franchise for them? Or was it a Sydney-Melbourne thing? They didn't really take much notice of you down here. Well,
no, there was always that Sydney-Melbourne rivalry.
But they didn't have anything. Did it go up to Sydney?
Yeah, it went up to Sydney. In fact, it started going all around Australia.
Nationally.
So we used to take the show to Sydney, Brisbane, Perth, and Adelaide, just to say, hey, we love you, and all of that
same
sort of stuff.
Same with our show, the footy show. When you were asked to go to 3AK, Darren took over with Bruce, did he?
Yes. And I must say, as I said, I was conned into that, I think. And I do apologise to any listeners who were big fans back then.
Well, we were all fans.
Because I suddenly disappeared.
You did?
I was told not to say anything.
And the famous line when Hinch, you said, someone's lost their soul.
Do you want me to reenact it?
I do, exactly.
If I hear any more lies coming out of the mouth of Flackman, I tell you I'm going to throw up. Personally, I don't think 3AW's lost its soul. It's lost its arsehole.
That's right.
Cool.
Great line. And Darren and I are still, we're still friends.
Are you?
Yeah, despite the fact he destroyed my career. But I don't blame him for destroying my career. I blame Packer and White.
So
there you go. Anyway, enough of that.
So can you recount any of the...
Well, incidentally, I wrote most of that stuff in Wikipedia. Doesn't everybody?
Well, you'd have to, but because you'd have to have a hell of an input, because how would people know the facts?
Well, that's right. You've got to take anything you read in Wikipedia with a grain of salt.
Pam. So, do you have a lot of friends still in the industry, did people generally, when you're successful, not that I've ever been successful, I've been a survivor, people try and knife you and get you out of business, you out of the road?
Yeah, don't you worry about that.
Yep.
You're always looking over your shoulder because someone thinks they can be a bit funnier than you or a bit more personable than you. I'm not totally paranoid, but even paranoids have real enemies, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I wasn't continually looking over my shoulder, because, frankly, I was the best.
It
was a chemistry, do you know what I mean?
I do, absolutely.
I'm not skiting or showing.
Chemistry with what? The people
you worked with? Chemistry with Daryl. I mean, it was great working with Daryl.
What about man, Bruce?
Yeah, no, you have now terrific Bruce, yeah, no, chemistry with yeah, him.
Funniest guy on earth.
Yep.
Next to Daryl.
Is he? Yep.
Well, I have to say that for professional reasons.
He and Philip Brady had a wonderful night show.
Yep, yep.
It was must listening.
Yes.
It was just hilarious. Yeah.
And then Bruce went, he went off and died, didn't he?
He did.
Philip was sort of, I don't know whether Philip was floundering there for a while.
Yeah, well, he was. He played this second fiddle to Bruce. No, because he was.
Well, he's a fall guy.
That's correct.
So he had to have a straight man, and I'm not too sure how all that worked out.
So the people at AW, so you've rubbed shoulders. Like Ernie, did you get on with Ernie? Ernie was a different person, Ernie Sigley.
He's a different kettle of fish.
Yeah. Ernie sacked me three times. I worked for him at... when he had the show at Channel 9 with Denise. I used to do sport, and I disagreed with him once there, and I got the arse there. I went to 3AW on his afternoon show, and he said something about Michael Jordan earning so much money. I said, that's absolutely ridiculous. Ernie doesn't earn that much money. He sacked me from that, and he got me back on some other thing. He sacked me three times. If you disagreed with Ernie about anything, he'd sack you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he hated people to think that he had someone had any more knowledge than him about anything.
But he had immense knowledge about stuff in show business. I mean, he did have
memory. He got it off they used to feed him through the headphones.
You misjudge him, there, right, Sam, because I've watched him work, and he used to do a lot of that stuff off the top of his head.
Well, he had a very successful Tonight Show in the mid-70s. No, yes. In Melbourne.
In Ernie Sigley and show. In Adelaide.
Yeah, he hosted the Kazalia Awards. And just in the mid-70s, he had a huge show on Nine, the Ernie Sigley Show.
Oh, that's right, he did too.
After Don Lane or before Don Lane.
Yeah, one of those. They took a whack at each other, didn't they, at a Logie's once?
I think they did.
He's punching above his weight, though, isn't he?
With Don.
Weren't they? No, Don. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, he's a bit taller. He's got a bit better reach.
Yeah. No, fascinating stuff. And I keep saying this, John, the only thing you've got in life are memories, because you don't have the here and now, and that's us here speaking.
Yes.
You don't know what's happening in the future. You must have fantastic memories. Of what memories on television, on Hey Hey or radio, come to your mind, good or bad, about people you've interviewed or spoken to or things that have happened?
Well, I'm not too sure who's died and who hasn't, so I've got to be careful.
That's all right. We'll tidy it up for you. I'll tell you if they're dead or not.
You said you don't edit.
No, I said I'll tidy it up. I'll tell you if they're dead or not.
Oh, I see.
Yep.
Oh, this is like...
This is like Russian roulette.
Why do I feel like Alec Baldwin right now?
dear.
Sorry, yeah. That was very sad. No. Very sad.
Well, it was.
Event, that one.
No, it was.
But generally, you know what, Sam and Don, I regard myself as the luckiest person on earth. A Mount Waverley boy who went to Sindel State.
Sindel Tech, I thought.
No, and then Sindel Tech.
Right.
And even then, you know, I was naive because I wanted to go to high school, where the girls were.
Yep.
Right? But Mum said, you're going to Sindel Tech. I said, no, I don't want to go to Sindel Tech. I mean, you know, fitting and turning and woodwork and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I want to go to Ashwood High.
Oh.
Do you remember Ashwood High?
Yeah. We competed against them.
In the sports. Egg and spoon race and the sack race. did I take it, John, that you, the first time you married to get out of national service?
Yes, to get out of Vietnam. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we did go down that track, didn't we? We go down many paths here. How long have we been running?
We've been doing 42, 3 minutes.
This will be.
We've only just scratched the surface, but we intend not to go over.
How did you get out of that show? By getting married.
Yeah, I know, because, oh, that's right. As I was saying, I was at F.H. Stevens Customs Agents.
Yes.
That's another story in itself. And I was having lunch with a mate one day. He said, hey, Blackers. I wasn't called Blackers back then. Tony Barber burdened me with that name.
Cambridge man.
Are you allowed to mention cigarette brands?
We mention anything we like. Cambridge, he used to do the whistling for Cambridge.
Okay. Can I tell you that when Wilbur and I were at 3UZ, Keith Stackpole used to foff in every couple of weeks with a carton of Dunhill.
Dunhills, yep.
And they were Dunhill Blues.
Yes.
And I hated them. And I used to take them down to the newsagent and swap them over.
Oh.
No, swap them over, because I was a smoker.
Yeah, you're a big smoker, weren't you?
Oh, 60 a day.
What?
I know, I remember that. And you're a drinker? You like to tipple a bit.
Yeah, I like to tipple a bit.
I'm not any of that now.
I'm not a lush, but I do have the odd way.
Oh, do you? And you to get your health, I think you started bike riding seriously?
Yeah.
Did you not?
Yes, I did, yes.
Or do you still do that or not?
No, I get on the exercise bike for 10 minutes a day each morning.
Now, I interrupted you. I know, so you married just to get out of...
Let me get back to this because it's got a very funny tag and we might finish on this.
No, we won't. We're going to finish shortly.
Right. Okay, all right.
Two other things to ask.
So anyway, he said, Blackers, did I tell you Tony Varver gave me that name?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
You did. The Cambridge man, you know, I started whistling.
That's the thing about drinking, you lose your memory. Imagine what it'd be like if you were a drinker. No, that's... Sorry, I stole that joke from Wilbur. Yeah. Where was I? Oh, yes. And he said, do you realise if you're married... So were you in the call-up?
I got balloted out.
I got balloted out.
You
too.
Got balloted out. Well, I was terrified of being balloted in.
Yeah, so was I.
He said, if you're married, you're exempt.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes. Could have been one more you could add to your list of...
So she would have taken to that kindly. Look, could you marry me? I don't want to be conscripted.
No, I didn't say that to her.
No, of course
I fell in love with her, Sam.
Of course.
And she fell in love with me.
Of course.
I was 19, she was 26. Tasmanian. This is going to sound terribly sexist. Quite desperate. And I suspect very
who
much...
Who was desperate, she or you?
No. We're both desperate.
In 19 and 26.
Yeah, being Tasmanian, I was right.
Yeah, but she was desperate, you know, about being left on the shelf. And mind you, I was a good get back then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What, a salesman for J.O. Richardson?
No, I was working at F.H. Stevens Customs Agents and making £7 a week. Anyway.
£7, I got used to it, £9.
That's not bad.
Oh, shit. You're a mogul.
Yeah. Just before 1966.
Yeah.
Well,
has to be.
Yeah.
That's when decimal currency came in.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got married, right? We got married in Hobart, because that's where she came from, at St. George's Church. And the priest, when we went down to arrange the wedding, he sort of said, do you want bells? And I said, bells? I said, yeah, we've got bells. I said, oh, well, how much are they going to be? He said, oh, £1. Anyway, so as we were walking out of the church, he was lying. He's a lying bastard. I get lied to so often. There was only one bell at St. George's Church, and it went bong, bong.
For a quid.
Bong,
And he was a priest.
And he was the pastor. I was an Anglican marriage.
Oh, okay.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So anyway, after 5 years with her, I really should have taken my chances with the Viet Cong. I'm sorry, I do that joke at conferences. It always gets a laugh anyway.
We had a bloke, a Michael Christian, who sends us in stuff, and we do shout-outs. He said, did you give a shout-out to someone's name? He said, but don't mention his surname because his missus still thinks he went missing in Vietnam.
No.
Yeah, really? That's right.
Anyway, so as I said, we came back and we decided that farting was
a good
idea. And then
married
I was only 3 months off the leash, and then Cecile came into my life.
The wonderful Cecile.
And she's been with me now for 50 years on December the 2nd last.
Now, John, and I know we've all faced adversity over and all that, but your daughter Tiffany was born blind.
Yes, and she was born 3 months premature, and they had to bag her with oxygen, and too much oxygen destroys the retina. They're back in the 70s, Sam, the early 70s.
Yep.
I know you remember the 1870s, but this is 1970s.
I do, yes.
They had no idea what the right balance was.
No.
So when we took her home, she was about 3 months premature, and she only weighed about a tub of margarine.
Yep.
That's all she weighed. Yeah,
and you've loved and cared for the whole of her career and life.
Yes,
and
we're very proud of her, and she's just she's living with us at the moment.
Is she? Yep.
Yeah. And she's 49. And
fantastic.
People can't believe it until she's 49. But
that's extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's been I often say adversity, doesn't matter, how important or how, smart you think you are.
Yep.
Everybody's got some sort of adversity in their life, and that's...
Absolutely. Yeah. You're a living testament to the success of the day, the halcyon days, we'll say, of when entertainment was not modified by inclusion, diversity, equity, wokeness. You could say it with tongue in cheek.
Yes.
Bit of hyperbole. And no one took you seriously because you knew it was just bullshit. But now it's just so collared and so nailed down that it's almost impossible to have a career like you did.
I was hoping you'd mention that word hyperbole.
Yes, hyperbole.
Hyperbole. Yeah. And, you know, I heard Julia Gillard say hyperbole.
Really?
Yes.
I heard someone say macabre the other day.
Macabre.
Yeah. And I've said this about my friend, Doc Larkins, was down on the boundary doing Triple M football. I was taken from 3AW football with Rex Hunt by the late Michael Gudinski, who got me over to Triple M because they wanted to break up Rex and I on Triple M, a bit like you.
Yeah, the Kerry Packer Brian White.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what happened.
Machiavellian manoeuvre.
And I was offered quite a lot of money to do that. So I'm on the boundary. I'm on Triple M football, and we crossed down to the dock. Larkin's on the boundary. And a bloke came off, he was a bit giddy, and someone crossed down to him and said, what's wrong, Doc, what's wrong with Frank Swanson? He said, Frank's got vertigo. And I said, he's got what? He said, vertigo. I said, what's vertigo? He said, well, he's giddy. I said, you mean vertigo. Well, I ridiculed him a bit on air, and he got very annoyed with me.
And
I'm very good friends with the Doc. What?
You got the arse.
No, I didn't get the arse. You would know this. Never call someone's bluff unless you know what the answer's going to be. I thought, a bit like you at 3AK, I thought I was probably not going to get the sack until I got the sack on Triple M when a bloke rang in after I'd seen three bad games in a row, and he said he thought it was a good game, and I said, well, you're a fuckwit. And I got sacked on the spot. Gary Peart.
Gary Peart. Yeah. Wow.
He's a very good man.
Former comic Collingwood great.
Yeah. And you're an old Fitzroy man.
Old Fitzroy man, yes. Yeah, from way back.
Were you keen on it, or were you very...
Can I start another story?
Please.
Or are you going to turn this into a two podcast episode?
No, I'll tell you what, we do it for no more than an hour because we think the people who listen haven't got the attention span to listen more than an hour, no matter who we speak to.
All right. Well, it all... my
8 minutes.
8 minutes, okay. I find the attention span of most people is about 2 minutes.
Exactly.
Exactly. The reason I varicked for Fitzroy, Don and Sam, was when I was growing up as a boy in Mount Waverley in Sindel, we used to play, can you believe this, we used to play cricket in Blackburn Road.
Yep.
You know how busy that
is
now?
Yep. I know.
One of us would say, car, and we'd get off the road. Peter, I won't mention his name because he might still be alive and listening, but his name was Peter Thompson.
Yep.
Not the golfer. No, but I don't know, you must have done something really horrible. My mum said, that's it, you're no longer friends with Peter. And by the way, he used to barrack for Collingwood, as I did. Everything Peter did, I did. So she, and you're not barracking for Collingwood anymore.
So you picked another side.
And living in Mount Waverley, I had no idea. I said, what's the next suburb? She said, Fitzroy. That's the only reason I followed
now,
Fitzroy.
Now, finally, John Blackman.
Yes. Finally. Okay.
Well, finally.
Thank you.
Had you finished that?
No, yes. No, that was the story, yes.
So you're active, I see. I'm not, but the feeds come up always when you turn your phone on. You're active on Twitter. You like to load the gun.
I'm sorry?
You like to load the gun on Twitter and let people fire the bullets.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you are provocative on that.
Well, I liken it to pulling the pin on a hand grenade and throwing it.
That's the same sort of thing as I was...
Yeah, and watching them all fight each other. And they don't, you know, they don't fight me.
You took me to task on Twitter many years ago. I said something about Joe Biden and you said that was a disgraceful thing to say about him.
Because I was as old as Joe Biden back then.
You're sharper than Joe. So Twitter, you get enjoyment? You're an avid Twitterer?
Yeah, I'm
not
a Twitterer. Well, I'm more avid Facebooker.
Yep.
Facebooker and...
Are you a political person on Twitter or do you give your... Do you get do you block people? Do plenty of people abuse you or like you?
No, I don't do anything like that. I don't do anything provocative, Sam, because I'm figuring I don't want to join in their fight. And so I just get a lot of pleasure out of watching a couple of Facebookers having a go at each other. Yep. You are. Oh, no, I'm not. Yep. You said and I said.
It's good, isn't
it? It's great fun. And we've got an online business, if I can give it a quick
please.
Youneedahug.com.au.
I see. How does that work?
Well, just high-end cushions that you give to somebody you love, Sam.
I see.
So, like Valentine's Day.
I get you. So, you serious? You make cushions?
No, we don't make cushions.
I'm pretty naive myself, mate.
We get them
made. No, I was saying, you get made cushions.
They're made overseas.
Yes, that's good.
And they're flush cushions.
Yeah.
They're not cheap. You know, you can't put a price
on our hats. You cannot be serious. $39.95 nonsense. Well, see, you can buy them for $20. But it's the wording that's important.
Oh, and the printing too.
Now, John Blackman,
your chest is
right. You are a star. I've grown up with you. A bit older than you, you are a star and have been.
And I've grown up with you too, Sam.
And you're an institution in those very, very formidable formats of television. Hey, hey! And I remember you just on the breakfast show, and you were a star, and still are. And many. Thanks for coming in, and we wish you well with your medical procedures. If there's any more to come, I hope there's no more to come.
I hope not.
But thank you very much for joining us on You Cannot Be Serious. I'm open around the streets late at night.